This is Dr. Chambers On Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. And here's Dr. Chambers.
This is Dr. Chambers On Call, live and local on Valentine's weekend. The weekend about love, and who doesn't need love? All of us need love, whether we're young, old, in between, sort of young, sort of not young. We all need to touch, we all need to kiss, we all need love. In fact, we all need relationships. And to have a healthy relationship is very important, because if your relationship is not healthy, you can't be healthy. And that's what this show is about. This show is about you, your health, your family's health. We want you to be healthy, and we never, ever charge a copay. So even though I'm going to be talking about relationships and heart health and stuff like that, you can call in with whatever is on your mind about your health. And the number is 800-222-5222. And remember, on this show, whatever you want to ask, nobody can even see your face, so don't get embarrassed. 800-ABC-KABC. Now, relationships are a very interesting phenomenon. And for a long time, we in conventional medicine kind of ignored their relevance. We thought, you have asthma, we treat the asthma. You have hypertension, we treat the hypertension. But now we're beginning to understand that stress from everywhere, whether it's in a relationship or the workplace, is going to affect your heart. And during the show, I'm going to be throwing in little bits about Go Red for Women Health Month. You know that the American Heart Association have declared February Women's Heart Health Month. Because what you may not realize is this, that more women die of heart problems than you do of breast cancer or lung cancer combined. Combined. And a few of us men, we get heart problems too. But it's Saturday morning, and Saturday morning follows Friday night. And I bet some of you were kissing last night. In fact, there may even have been a few first kisses. Right? Now, what's in a kiss? Oh, I know. This is a medical show, so I'm not going to suck all the joy out of you kissing, but I'm going to share with you what happens when you kiss. There's 12 cranial nerves that come out of your brain onto your face. And those 12 cranial nerves, they control you. You need, what, about 5 of them to get a kiss going. And then they monitor 12 muscles, right? So blowing a kiss is complex. It's not just, and it's over. No. There's a lot of technique in it. And it's how you use the muscles. And guys, I'll give you a secret. Don't tell the women. Practice makes perfect. Like with any set of muscles, the more you use them, the more imaginatively you use them, the better the kissing is. Do you remember when you were a teen and your first kiss? Remember how exciting it was? Just the anticipation, the emotion, the anxiety. What do? Do you lean in? Do you wait for her to lean in? What? How's it going to happen? And that kind of puppy love sets up such great hormone surge, right? The so-called good hormones, the oxytocin and the dopamines, and they kind of make you feel so much that you're in heaven. Nowadays, there's lots of first kisses. It doesn't just happen when you're a teenager. It happens in your 20s, when you're a millennial, 30s, 40s, 50s. People in their 70s and 80s are dating, and they have their first kiss moments. And those first kiss moments are every bit as important as when you're 20 or as when you're 30, because it's about contact, because it's about you communicating with someone that you love or someone that you want to love. And trust me on this. Trust me. The first kiss in any relationship, whether you're 19, whether you're 40, whether you're 60, it can determine how that relationship goes, really in a big way. Think of it this way. Look, we've all been watching romantic comedies since cinema began. We love them, men and women. We men, we kind of pretend we don't. That's a chick flick. I don't go to that. I'm going to go to the Benghazi movie and see people die. But really, you know, a lot of us guys, we like the romantic comedies. We do, but we hide it. In a romantic comedy, the writer, she'll spend forever trying to think up a way for the hero to kiss the heroine to kiss the heroine, whatever it is, whatever the movie's about, they'll think up that first kiss is pivotal. That first kiss, if it's not set up right, the movie fails. And the writer knows it. And the writer also knows that no matter how hard she works to get that moment right in the screenplay, if there's no chemistry between the stars, boom. Forget about it. Forget about it. Technique. One of the most famous kisses of all time in cinema is in Alfred Hitchcock. Now, for those of you who are under 40, let me tell you, Alfred Hitchcock was one of the most famous, brilliant, all-time greatest filmmakers. And he made a movie called Notorious that people have been ripping off for decades. And in Notorious, Hollywood superstar Cary Grant kisses Hollywood superstar Ingrid Bergman. And boy, do they have chemistry. And their faces are close to one another. And the camera's moving around them as they keep moving. And it's just the most wonderful kiss. If you haven't seen this movie, my God, go rent it. Watch it on Netflix. Do whatever it is. Get to see it. So they got that kiss just right. And it's lived on and on for decades. Now, because you're using muscles to kiss, you're obviously using energy. And if you're kissing, you use maybe 6 calories. What's that? If you're kissing passionately, you're going to use more calories. And if you kiss passionate enough, guys, you never know. You may end up expending more energy doing something else a little bit later. Depends how you kiss, right? So, is there a medical downside? And this is where we go, the little knife in there and let you know. Well, if there's a little downside, you're sharing bugs. Yep. All those bugs in her mouth are in your mouth, in his mouth are in your mouth, ladies. That's the way it is. For instance, if you come into my practice, you come into urgent care to see me, and you have a human bite, guess what? I'm going to treat that with antibiotics because they get infected a lot. So you are sharing bugs. And some people even think it's the bugs you're sharing that set up this kind of pheromone reaction that is part of why you're attracted to her or you to him in the first place. And I found this study as I was prepping for this week, and I thought it was fascinating. And it was this. They looked at the effect of the first kiss on a relationship. And they found that when men didn't like the first kiss, they dumped the woman. They dumped their lover about 50% of the time. And here's the thing. The women were dumping the guys 50% of the time when they didn't like the kiss. Now, I'm no math genius, but that kind of is adding up a little bit. That's not quite right. Right? So it appears to me that no matter how good the technique is, doesn't really matter. If there's no chemistry, if there's no thought put into the kiss, if you don't just kind of blend, all the technique in the world doesn't matter. And we've all seen Hollywood movies where they had great stars. And you say, my God, this is going to be a great movie. And you go to the movie and it's just flat. Dead. The big male superstar has no chemistry with the big female superstar. And just kind of go, should have worked. Shouldn't. And in our real lives, we all know this. In our real lives, we've gone out on a date. We think we've been waiting for this date for months, for years, forever. And we get on the date, and it just doesn't gel, doesn't click. And kissing is a bit like that. 800-222-5222 is the number to call with whatever is on your mind about your health. That's 800-ABC-KABC. Now, sometimes in medicine, you get these magic little moments that make your day. It's that moment when you're sort of part of somebody's life, when you just met them, and it can be magical, it can be fun. It's part of reason that people become doctors, because we see patients at their worst and at their best. We see people when they're critically ill, we see people when they're not so ill, and they think they're really ill, and we see them when someone they love is not doing well. Well, not so long ago, I saw this patient, woman in her 40s, little overweight, and she had all these symptoms. And I thought, hey, she says she's having an asthma attack, but I'm wondering, I'm nervous, I'm kind of concerned that this could be something else. Could this be, you know, an atypical presentation of a heart problem? So I turned around to the guy with her and I said, are you her husband? And there was this nervous giggle. No. Both of them said at the one time. Now, I knew instantly that there was a connection between the two of them. I knew by the way they responded that there's a connection. So we had to do a procedure, and we asked the man to step outside. So when I was talking to the woman, I said to her, I hope I didn't embarrass you when I said, was that your husband? And she said, oh, no, not at all. I said, well, is it a romantic relationship? And she said, no, we're friends. But I'm hoping, I'm really hoping. And I laughed and said, well, it's Valentine's week. She says, you think I don't know that? Of course you never know. And I tell you, that moment made my day. It absolutely made my day. It was fun. It was beautiful. It was just that little connection that you see. Because one of the things you must do if you're a good clinician is walk into a room and eyeball the patient. When I say eyeball the patient, I mean you look at them and say to yourself, are they sick? Are they not sick? Do I need to send them into an ICU setting? Can I send them home? All of those things go through your mind as you walk in. You may think it's a snap judgment, but it's not. It takes years of experience to eyeball a patient and know if they're sick. The other thing you do in a room is you're trying to assess the relationships of the people in the room. Now, nowadays, you don't walk into a room and say, generally speaking, is this your daughter? Is this your son? Because there's a lot of, let's just say, May-December romances. So you're very careful how you use that phrase. Because sometimes you'll say, is this your daughter? And it's really the wife. And that's embarrassing. That is embarrassing. And you don't want to go there. But that's part of what we do when we're assessing you. Because I'm an acute care physician. I've been doing it for decades. I see people with everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. And I have to decide sometimes what's going on. And the older the population gets, and we're all getting older, that's a law. Every day you wake up, you're a day older. No exceptions. Absolutely none. And we're trying to figure out if the people with the elderly person, are we looking after them? Are they abusing them? All of those things come into there. They all come into play. Now, I want to ask you a question. And remember, nobody can hear you. They can just hear me. So you can answer. How often do you wash your sheets? How often do you wash your sheets? Every week? Every month? Every 3 months? Whether you need them or not? Well, a recent study out, and I'm going to share it with you when I come back. But first, let me remind you, I'm live and local on Valentine's weekend. Whatever is on your mind about your health, I'll be happy to answer here because I'm live in the studio. Number 800-222-5222. That's 800-ABC-KABC. This is Dr. Chambers On Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Dr. Chambers On Call. Stay tuned.
What's going on here anyway?
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, it's President's Day, and we're working the holiday.
Well, so a lot of people won't actually be driving home. They'll be at home, but they can still listen because we'll be here.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
God bless America.
Remember when people used to wash stuff by hand, like clothes and dishes? Or how about this one? Remember when you had to wash your CPAP system by hand? Wait, you still wash your CPAP by hand? Boy, have we got to catch you up. Listen, SoClean.com has created the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It's faster, more sanitary, and a heck of a lot easier than whatever you're doing. And for a limited time, you can try it at home risk-free for 30 days. You better get on this. Just call 1-800-551-8505. SoClean is completely automated and hands-free. It destroys 99.9% of all CPAP germs. Clean your CPAP system in minutes with no water or hassle. Talk about life-changing. Now, remember when you called for your in-home trial from SoClean.com? Wait, you still haven't called? Here's the number again. It's a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Call 1-800-551-8505. 1-800-551-8505.
What's the secret to financial independence? You need a steady passive income, something more than just wages from a job. At Compound Stock Earnings, we teach you how to earn 3 to 6% cash return per month from your investments. We're so confident in your success that we offer a money-back guarantee on our Fast Start seminar. Want to learn more? Tune in to Unconventional Wisdom, the CSE Investment Show this Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC or visit CompoundStockEarnings.com.
Don't settle for that same old talk radio chatter. Tune in to the most independent voice on the airwaves for a fresh perspective you won't get anywhere else. Sam Nation, every Saturday at 3 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. On this show, the no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions ever too embarrassing. 800-222-KABC is the number to call. Now, as you know, I'm live and local here, and we're in Los Angeles. We're going through a bit of a heat wave, and that massive heat wave has caused a lot of allergies, a lot of coughing and wheezing, a lot of runny nose, a lot of red eyes. And me being an asthmatic, I'm suffering just as much as you are. I've seen a ton of people in my practice this week with the similar kind of symptoms. And when people come in and they're saying, I wonder why my nose is running so much and my eyes are red and itchy and watery. It's the allergies. It's all in the air. Take your allergy meds and you'll be fine. Now, before the break, I was teasing about this question. How often do you wash your sheets? Come on, think about it. Now, fess up. Remember, we're on the radio. You can tell me. Nobody will hear you. They can only hear me. Once a week? Once a month? Once a year? Oh, no. Come on. Come on. Well, there was a recent survey, and they looked at millennials, single men, single women, and asked them, how often do you wash your sheets? And the thing is, what's the downside to washing your sheets? Why are people asking this? Is it just being nosy, invading your privacy? No. Think of house dust mites and allergies, just like the stuff we're getting now in L.A. with the weather. It's going to cause a little flare-up. And, of course, we've got bed bugs, those hitchhikers that jump on and spread around the world. Unfortunately, Los Angeles has a huge bed bug problem. So washing your sheets and drying them at a high temperature, probably a good idea. So when they studied and asked the single guys, how often do you wash your sheets? Guess how often they said. Every 3.5 months. Every 14 weeks. Are you kidding me? Every 14 weeks? Can't be serious. And half of them thought, yeah, this is appropriate. This is good. What's the big deal? And another 20% just shrugged their shoulders and said, hey, dude, get over it. They're just sheets. They're filthy. So what? So what? So what? Some of them even admitted this. That after meeting a woman, cajoling her, persuading her, being nice to her, chatting her up. She likes him. He likes her. She comes back. She comes back to his apartment. Sees the sheets. Sees how dirty they are. And goes, are you kidding me? And runs. Runs. Bum. Gone. And you go, really? Guys, after all that, you couldn't just wash the sheets? No? No? Well, you deserve it. You absolutely and utterly deserve it. Good housekeeping advises this. You should wash your sheets every other week. Dr. Chambers on call, or as we like to say, DCOC advice, every week. Come on. It's not that hard to wash your sheets every single week, is it? Is it really that difficult, guys? Just stick it in there? By the way, DCOC advice, Dr. Chambers on call advice, I do these 60-second features, which are on my website, drchambersoncall.com. And that's my home on the internet. My home, but I'm not here on KABC, live and local, talking to you. And you're all welcome to my home. Just come on by, check out the videos, check out the podcasts, you know, the articles. Let me know what you think anytime. It's drchambersoncall.com. Doesn't matter what you say, D-R or D-O-C-T-O-R. It'll get you there to my home. You're welcome. You're my guests. Come on in. Stay as long as you like. By the way, how often do you think single women wash their sheets? Better than the guys? Well, yeah, better than the guys. Every 3 weeks. Not great. Better than the guys, yeah, but really, not great, is it? Every 3 weeks? Ladies, really? You could do better. Seriously. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. But whatever is on your mind about your health, for you, your family, maybe somebody's got a diagnosis in your family, you don't understand it. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you just want to ask something different. Whatever. 800-ABC-KABC. The American Heart Association this week or this month, I should say, are calling what they have a month they're calling Go Red for Women Month. And what they want to get across is this, that a woman dies in the United States every 80 seconds from heart disease. More women die from heart disease than lung cancer and breast cancer combined. Combined, right? And tragically, sadly, more women are getting serious heart problems now than men. If you think back in the old Mad Men days, back in the 60s, 70s, guys smoking away and the stress of the jobs were dying off in their 50s. Well, we're seeing heart attacks now in women in their 40s and 50s. 40s and 50s and 60s. And the question is, why? Well, there's a whole bunch of causes. And part of it is lifestyle. Women now have a sedentary lifestyle, much more so than they had before. More women are in the workforce. And believe it or not, some of us think that the stress of being in the workforce is a factor, which kind of belies the thing that staying at home and being a mom is more stressful. Now, I know this is controversial. I know some of the feminists will come after me, but it seems that the evidence is accumulating fairly substantively that being at work for women leads to a lot of stress. And then we have the risk factors. If you were a woman, you were pregnant, and you got a thing called preeclampsia, which means your blood pressure went up during the pregnancy, you had a little kidney problem, and maybe your baby had to be delivered quickly, that predisposes you to a heart problem later in life because of blood pressure issues. Diabetes, oh my, lots of us are diabetic nowadays. One in three of us are pre-diabetic and don't know it, don't even know it. So you should get checked for that. It's just a fasting sugar overnight. A lot of women have lipid problems. Their cholesterol is up. And, you know, we're all getting bigger, men and women. We're putting on weight. Most of us think we're 10 or 20 pounds overweight. We're not. We're a lot more than that, most of us. We really are. Most of us are like 40, 50 pounds. I used to be impressed when I saw somebody who was 300 pounds. Not really. Nowadays, our scales and our practice go up to 500-600 pounds. Sometimes we want to scan someone, we have to notify the scanner that this person is 450, 500, whatever it is, because we want to make sure that the trolley that brings the patient into the donut where they can do the little scan doesn't get damaged. And of course, we have to say to ourselves nowadays that more women are smoking than men, right? You remember that old Virginia Slim ad? So they had these women dressed in old-fashioned clothes playing tennis, then cut to the modern women in all their gear playing tennis, and the slogan was, "You've come a long way, ladies." Well, yeah, all the way to the top of the heart attack list because of smoking. And most of us think that smoking is kind of yesterday. It's kind of yucky. It's kind of old. But it's not. None of your smoking. It's very new. Walking up from the 3rd Street Promenade yesterday, I was stuck behind these three women, and they were all smoking. It was blown back in my face, and they were all young. They were all hip and cool. They looked great, but they were smoking. And I remember saying to myself, like, what have we done wrong here? What have we done wrong? Why isn't that message getting out? Because I think a lot of teenagers, a lot of millennials think, I'm never going to be 40. And even if I am, it's so far away. Well, you know, we're all going to be 40. If you're 20, you're going to be 40 with a bit of luck, unless something goes really badly wrong. And it's the lifestyle stuff that you do in your 20s that catches up with you in your 30s and 40s. So are there differences between men and women when it comes to heart attacks? There are big differences. Big, big, big differences. And the first one you have to understand is this. Men traditionally, classically, get a chest pain or pressure or funny sensation that's in the center part of their chest or into the left side because that goes into the left arm, often with sweating or shortness of breath. Most women don't really get those kind of symptoms. And for the guys, it's effort related. For women, frequently not. So women can come in with something simple as nausea. I feel nauseated. Why? Or I walk across the room and I just felt more short of breath. Couldn't figure out why. And sometimes women wake up at night with chest, neck, or arm pain, or feeling poorly, or feeling short of breath, or whatever it is. They wake up and they're wondering, why am I waking up? Could it be? And then they kind of dismiss it as it couldn't possibly be heart. No, it couldn't. So what I want to do today, what I want to explain to you, no matter what age you are, is that heart pain has very funny presentations. Very, very funny. And you have to be aware and be cognizant of them, especially if you're a woman. You're not going to get the classic chest pain. In fact, most people, as I mentioned earlier, don't get pain. They get this gnawing feeling, this awful sensation, this funny feeling. Yeah, it's just, ugh. So you've got to be aware of that. And the one thing that you have to understand is, if you think you're having a heart attack, go to the emergency room. Not to the urgent care, not your doctor's office, emergency room. And if you call, if you're really worried about it, and you call 911 and they tell you you're not having chest pain, you're not having a heart attack, that's nonsense. Nonsense. Absolutely rubbish. I can't tell you how many paramedics I've seen over the years who say, well, she's got no chest pain. No kidding. Women don't get chest pain most of the time. They get back pain, they get shortness of breath, they get nauseated. And you, as a consumer, it's your health. You must be aware of this. 800-222-5222 is the number to call with whatever is on your mind about your health. Now, we're talking a lot about Valentine's Day and heart, but whatever you want to talk about, I'll talk because I'm live and local. That's 800-ABC-KABC. Now, I often get some of these odd questions in my practice, and one of them recently was this. Was, is it medically necessary to wear underwear? You feel like, wow, is it? What do you think? I'll tell you my thoughts when I come back. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers on call will continue answering more of your questions.
Dr. Yumin Fong on cancer and City of Hope.
So the reason I came here as a surgeon is that I do robotic liver and pancreatic surgery. That's something actually fairly new. This was one of the very first places to embrace this technology. I'm also a gene therapist. What I do is I redesign nature's viruses to go and seek out cancer cells that are circulating the body and go and hunt them down and kill them. And now there's a whole new field in science called gene editing. We're now able to go into cells and actually change the genes that are already there. We could go and repair genes that are bad. We can actually turn off genes that are trying to cause too much inflammation and cause damage. Some of the best scientists in the world right now working on those things are here.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope. The miracle of science with soul.
Enjoy a politically incorrect weekend with Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Good morning.
McIntyre in the moon
with Terry Ray Elmer.
How'd you like to be in the history of humankind the only person known? And what are you known for? You got hit by a piece of space rock. Wow. If anybody has a right to walk up to God and say, what did I do? It was Hitler and Stalin and all these people, Idi Amin, and he was a big target. What? Why me?
McIntyre in the morning.
With Terry Ray Elmer. Mornings at 5 on 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And on this show, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions ever too embarrassing. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. Now, one of the sometimes as a physician, you get odd questions. And often you get these questions at a dinner party. And one of the questions I had recently was this. Is underwear necessary? You kind of have to think. Now, it's Valentine's weekend, so a lot of people are kind of saying, hey, underwear is not necessary. It's kind of maybe even a little bit erotic. But is it a medical necessity? Remember, the term going commando comes from the Vietnam War. Because when the guys went out into the bush, and they're going out there to fight the Viet Cong for weeks to months, they got this little infection in the groin. They found that this was exacerbated by underwear. So they didn't wear underwear. They stopped wearing it. The average woman has what? About 20 pairs of underwear? 20 panties? That's the survey I saw. And 10 of them were special. And guys, if you're listening to me, you don't know what special means. Ugh, what can I say? You have a problem. Are there any rules about underwear? Well, there's no rule that you have to actually wear it. It doesn't mean that problems are necessarily going to happen down there. If you're wearing skinny jeans a lot, that may mean you've got to wash those jeans a bit more often. The areas that are next to the most intimate parts of your body should have some breathing room, preferably cotton. And sometimes you have to advise women not to wear underwear at night because you got to let that area breathe out a little bit. And guys, you know, when guys wear underwear, there's got to be some support in there, especially as you get older, because things hang a little bit more than you might like. They really do hang. I'm going to talk to San Gabriel. Hi. You're on with Dr. Chambers on call. How can I help, Al?
Okay, Dr. Chambers, about 6 months ago, I was diagnosed with Paget's disease. The doctor told me it is a softening or a gradual disintegration of the pelvic and hip bone.
Sure. Well, that's how it's affecting you, is it?
Pardon?
Is your hip bone a problem for you with this?
No. It's just that I cannot stand for maybe a minute or two.
And what happens when you stand?
As long as I can sit down or lay down, I'm fine. But standing, no way.
Okay. And that's
what is it basically? What are the treatment options? And
well, Al, when you tell me that you can't stand, where's the pain when you can't stand?
Up the middle of my back.
Up the middle of your back. Okay. Well, Paget's disease, Al, is when there's a problem in the bone breakdown and rebuilding. Let me put it this way. All of our bodies, whether it's bone, skin, or whatever, are constantly being turned over, remodeled. You get new skin, you get a new skin layer every weeks to months, and the same with your bone. A lot of us think that bone isn't living, but of course bone is living. Bone has blood supply in its own way. It's got to keep going. What happens in Paget's disease is the remodeling process is askew. And it mostly affects your pelvis, your skull, and your spine and your legs. And Al, that's why you're getting pain. Now, Paget's disease is not, I haven't seen Paget's God in a long time. It tends to occur in certain ethnic groups and not so much in Latinas. It tends to be more in Caucasians. But when I was practicing in Europe, I saw quite a bit of it. There's a whole bunch of treatments, Al. And there's things called bisphosphonates and other stuff that will help you out. But what you need to do is say to yourself this, Al. I have this problem, I can't stand. Is it simply taking some anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen or Aleve? Actually, Aleve is probably a little bit better. Not as many heart problems as ibuprofen. Would that solve it? Because this is a relatively uncommon condition, Al, I tend to suggest you go to someone who's got a special interest in Paget's disease and see what they say and look at your overall health and see what they recommend. There are some good therapies for it, and it sounds like you might benefit from it. That was Al, and he called me on 800-222-5222, and you can call me, too, with whatever is on your mind about your health. Henry, you're on the air with Dr. Chambers on call. How can I help?
Hello. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Go ahead, Henry.
Okay, I'm a male, obviously, age 69 and a half.
Yeah?
I stopped smoking 30 years ago this month.
Sure.
I smoked for 21 years. Liberally speaking, I may have smoked up to a pack a day, but I really doubt it was maybe more like 15 a day.
Okay.
My question is, should I get a CT scan? Reason I'm very wary about them, I did investigations of them, and they're extremely high in radiation. There's
absolutely.
The highest you can get, as you know, but your listeners may not.
Yeah.
The reason I mention it, sometimes I'm in very good physical condition.
Okay.
Sometimes when I lay down in my bed, and you have to be quiet to hear a pin drop, and I hear, when I'm breathing in, I can't hear it now, but there's like a Velcro sound in my, I guess it's kind of my lungs or my
sure.
throat, I don't know.
Henry, let me ask you something. When was the last cigarette that you smoked?
Last cigarette?
Yeah.
1986.
86, so that's been a while, right? 86. What was that? I was probably two at the time. Of course, everyone's laughing in the studio. But here's the thing. Your risk of lung cancer goes down every year you haven't been smoking. That's a fact. So Al has, 86, so what, we're 14, we're 29 years. So your risk cancer, Henry, is back to the same level it was when you were a non-smoker. What doesn't reverse, unfortunately, is the effects that the cigarettes have on your lungs. Cigarettes cause the elastic tissue to go away, And you need that for the lungs to recoil and function properly. It can also set up what we call obstruction. That's the wheeze. That's a wheeze if you've never heard one. It's the weather making me wheeze here. So, Henry, I don't think for you that you need to worry too much about this. Which brings me to CAT scans in general. We're overusing CAT scans to an extreme degree, so much so that the feds are now telling doctors like me, working in acute care, working in the trenches, looking after people like you, is that we're starting to cause cancer with the CAT scan. What I'm afraid of with the CAT scans in Henry's case is this. Some studies have come out, and they've been funded, believe it or not, by the cigarette companies. And the cigarette companies are saying with these studies, look, we can do these specific CT scans, pick up problems early in lung cancer, treat it, and the patient does well. And by doing this, we're removing the biggest worry that smokers have, they're going to get lung cancer. So then I have to ask myself, okay, you keep smoking, and you keep smoking, and then you have to get CAT scan after CAT scan after CAT scan. You're going to get cancer one way or the other, right? One way or the other, you're going to get cancer. I don't see the benefit here. And what scares guys like me is this. The scary part of it all is that if we don't nip this in the bud, if we don't say, you know what, it'd be great to have a good screening test for lung cancer. It would be great to have a good screening test for lung cancer that doesn't in of itself cause cancer. But we don't have it. We just do not have it. Who are the people that might benefit from this? Well, if you have a familial problem, if you have a genetic predisposition to lung cancer, I have a friend who works in casino, in the casino world, in gaming, where there's still a lot of smoking. They try to filter it out, but they're smoking. He doesn't smoke. But both of his parents got lung cancer, both of them. And he's terrified. So he wants to go and get this scan. And then you're trying to factor in the risk. Is the scan going to be worse for him than waiting or not waiting? Because even though he doesn't smoke himself, the fact that he's in the casino walking around, boom, secondhand smoke. No question about that, secondhand smoke. So it's a tough one. In your case, Henry, I would say at this point, I would not get a CAT scan. Because it's 86 since your last cigarette. That's a long, long time ago. And as I said, you generally go down to the risk of a non-smoker within like 10 years, maybe a little bit longer. So in your case, I wouldn't bother. 800-222-5222. That was the number Henry called. And he had a question not related to Valentine's Day. And he got on the air. So you can call in too. 800-222-5222. Now, Valentine's Day is all about desire. We all want to be wanted. But what is desire? How do you conjure it up? Years ago, there was a beer campaign when I was a millennial, when I was in my 20s in Ireland. And they were advertising a beer in a bar, of course, where everybody's young and beautiful and happy. And if you went there, guess what? You met other young, beautiful, happy people who wanted to be with you. And it was fun. And one of the final shots of the commercial was a woman looking into the camera, and the voiceover went like this. And Sally O'Brien, the way she might look at you. And that was a hit with us millennials. This woman with this amazing look on her face that was Beyonce rolled up with Charlize Theron. Come, I'm beautiful, I want you. And guys flocked to this beer. Within a week, they were going into the bar asking for a pint of Sally. Not a pint of Harp, a pint of Sally. So it hit. Scientists nowadays want this. Scientists want to put that moment, that I want you moment, into a pill. And for women, they think they have succeeded. It's called Adderall or Phalanserbin. And it's on the market since October. And when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about that and why it's so different than Viagra. Because really, up to now, there has never been an aphrodisiac that works. And I don't think this works. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. That's 800-ABC-KABC. And remember, on this show, no question's too dumb. No question's too tough. And no question is ever too embarrassing. And the beauty of it, no copay. Remember, during the week, I live on the internet. My website is drchambersoncall.com. You're always welcome to come by. Check out the videos. Like that little piece I was talking about earlier, your sheets. I did a little video on that. And I guarantee if you watch it, you will laugh. If you don't laugh, I'll give you your money back. Oh, what am I saying? It's free. 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers answers more of your questions when we continue.
See the difference? Why pay the difference? Switch to Dish and see what real value is. Call 877-319-6988. You can also save a bundle when you combine DishNet high-speed internet with your TV service. Call 877-319-6988. Programming starting as little as $29.99, plus access to thousands of movies and TV shows. Stream to your TV, smartphone, or tablet. Call 877-319-6988. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get Dish today.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quotes subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
The KABC $1,000 high-low game is leaving winners in disbelief.
That's it! Oh,
my God!
Jennifer, you're getting $1,000!
Are you serious? Are you kidding? Is this a joke?
Yeah, we're just kidding. No, we're not kidding. Of course, why would we be? I mean, we're cruel. We're not that cruel.
Oh, my gosh. I'm, like, insane right now.
We're not kidding when we say you could be next. Listen all day, 6 to 6, for the cue to call. Guess the lucky number and win $1,000 in cash. 1,000 more reasons it really pays to listen.
I listen to you all the time.
Well, if you listened to the handle, you wouldn't have won the money.
Thank you so much.
KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The show is about you and your health and no copay. You can call in, ask a question, and we won't charge you the dreaded copay. 800-222-5222 is the number. And remember, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions too embarrassing. We can't even see your face. 800-222-5222. Can you put desire in a pill? Well, scientists have been working on it forever. There's been all kinds of aphrodisiacs. And some people even think that Viagra is an aphrodisiac. It's not. Not at all. If you take Viagra, Cialis, or any of them, and you just sit at home watching the NewsHour on PBS, nothing's going to happen. But if Beyonce, especially that outfit she wore at the Super Bowl, sashays across your room, lots of things will happen. Lots of things will work that weren't working before. Now, a while ago, a group decided to even the score. That's what they called their campaign. They want to get this medication that was originally designed to be an antidepressant on the market as a stimulant, as a medication, a pill that will arouse women who are having difficulty in being aroused. First time in history. So what's the downside of this? Well, the downside is simple. It doesn't really work. It doesn't really work. It's called flibanserin. The trade name is Addyi, A-D-D-Y-I, and it's been on the market since October. The problems are it makes you feel nauseated. Your blood pressure can fall down, especially if you've been drinking alcohol. Really? Guess who drinks alcohol when they're dating? Let me think about that for a second. Gee. And if you're on the hormonal contraceptive pill, it also has some interactions. So this is an horrendous drug, but the feds put it on the market because there was this campaign that out there that said, hey, it's not fair that there's nothing for women and there's all these aphrodisiacs for men. But there aren't really any aphrodisiacs for men. It's the chemistry. It's what's going on between you and your partner, your male partner, your female partner, whoever it is. That's the aphrodisiac. And most of the time that women have arousal issues in relationships, it's because there is problems within the relationship. And those problems have to be fixed. They are relationship issues. They are relationship problems. Look, we all want the relationship. And sometimes, you know, the history of relationship, you want her, she doesn't want you. or then maybe for a while you both want each other. But does it work? You know, relationships are work. After the first kiss, it's magic, but you got to work at it if you want to survive. I have friends before they got married who went therapy to help them build up the relationship, which seems a bit odd to me that you need therapy before you get married, before you really cement it. But that's the way it is. So if you want to check out my thoughts on flibanserin, I did a little medical minute, which you'll find on my website, drchambersoncall.com. I do 5 of these medical minutes every week. They're always from the news. You can check out my opinion on the stuff that's grabbing the headlines, whether it's Zika virus, whatever, it's all there. You can check them out anytime on my home, on the internet, drchambersoncall.com. Of course, you can also follow me on Facebook, and that's Dr. Chambers on Call. And if you go to Facebook, hit like, let me know you're around. You can comment on the show, you can talk about the show, you can suggest stuff for the show. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you don't like my advice, let me know. Hey, we all make mistakes. Let me ask you something. Can you die of a broken heart? Really? Can you? Well, the short answer is yes. But man, is it rare. So do you remember, think of it this way. You remember the first time you were in love? Remember that puppy love? Your heart's all a flutter. Butterflies in your stomach. You're so anxious. You can't even talk to her, right? So what's going on? Well, you're in relationship bliss. And there's two hormones. Oxytocin, which is the so-called bliss hormone. And dopamine, which is the so-called reward hormone. And then you're going along, you're in love. And one day she says to you, or he says to her, whatever, hey, you know, it's not you, it's me. You know that it's not you, it's me. It's time for me to go. I'm kind of, oh, whatever. Bye-bye. And then it feels like you're, gut punched. It feels like, and it's just all physical. It's all physical. And you think the world is going to end and that you'll never be the same and that you'll never, ever, ever be happy again. You can't because she doesn't want you. And at this point, the stress hormones are surging through your body. The stress hormones, cortisol, epinephrine, they're flooding your arteries. And at this point, if that little flood turns into a tsunami, guess what? You get chest pain, short of breath, and your heart is just kind of stunned. It's so stunned, it's like deer in a headlight. It can't function. It can't pump the blood. The myocardium, the heart muscle, just doesn't work. It's not pumping the blood, and you're in trouble. Boy, are you in trouble. Now you're in my world. Now you're in the medical world, and you have broken heart syndrome. Or in the medical world, it's called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Boy, that's a mouthful, huh? It's a Japanese term. But basically, your heart can't pump the blood, and you're having all the symptoms and signs of a heart attack, with one exception. The arteries supplying the heart muscles are normal. There's no blockages at all. And if the doctors treat you well, they get on top of it, you get through it. How common is this? Man, it's rare. It really is rare. In 20 years of practice, I think I've seen 2 real cases that I thought, yes, definitely, this is broken heart syndrome. It tends to happen after someone you love intensely and dearly suddenly passes away or some other catastrophic event. And yes, it's more common in women than men, but we're talking about something really rare. For most of us in a breakup, what do we need? Well, what do most of us need in a breakup? A pint of Haagen-Dazs, a couple of beers. And I mean a couple. I don't mean 2-4, I don't mean 36 and a bottle of tequila or vodka. No. I don't mean that. But you know, when a relationship is over, it's over. Don't obsess about it. You got to move on. You can talk to your friends and talk to your family. But if you find that your friends are rolling their eyes going, oh God, not again. Maybe you're obsessing about it a little bit too much. Maybe it's time to talk to a therapist about it or come see a guy like me. And I'll give you some meds maybe to take off the edge a little bit. Just get you through the hump so you can, you know, get back into your life, get back into your world and kind of move on. So generally speaking, I give people 3 to 6 months. And if you're still obsessing, still kind of all caught up, all wound up about it, You got to get in there. You got to do something about it. Of course, often nowadays, we prolong the misery, right? Social media stalking anybody? Checking Facebook every 5 minutes? What's my ex-lover's relationship status? Now single? Oh, they've forgotten about me already? Or worst, texting. And drunk dialing still happens, huh? Drunk dialing. The worst one of all, of course, is sexting. I mean, really? You have to be that stupid? You're broken up, you're doing something that dumb. That's when you end up in the part where you're going to end up being ghosted, where your ex-lover will just cut you off, they'll block your number, they block you from Facebook because you're persecuting them. Life is about a little bit of pain sometimes, and you have to accept it, absorb it, and move on. And I want to reassure you as a doctor that your heart is resilient. And it recovers, and it will go on and on. And this, what you have to understand is we all need love. We're all addicted to love. And our hearts, even after a catastrophic breakup, will recover just in time to get it broken again. 800-222-5222 if you want to call in. I'm a working physician. I'm live and local here on KABC. During the week when I'm not on the air, you can follow me on my internet home, drchambersoncall.com. Doesn't matter whether you put in D-R or D-O-C-T-O-R, it'll get you to my home. I have podcasts, I have videos, I have articles. Some of the stuff I talked about today, how often do you wash your sheets? I did a video of that, and it's fun. And I guarantee you, if you don't laugh watching it, get your money back. Also, we did one on the Can You Die of a Broken Heart? And that's, I think, one of the funnier ones. And if you don't laugh, I'll give you your money back. All of it. All of the money you're not giving me, I will give back to you. Just kidding. Just kidding. You'll also find some other articles, all pertaining to health, trying to get you, you know, healthy to stay and staying healthy. Now, I tend to think of some of this as like broccoli with chocolate. Stuff you need to know, but I guarantee you when you're reading it or watching the videos or listening to the podcasts, you'll have fun. You'll laugh. We have a little section called Dr. Chambers on Call After Dark, which is aimed at adults. It's talking about sexual health because you can't be a fully healthy person unless your relationship is healthy, unless your sex life is healthy. So we do podcasts there like, Is Your Penis Happy? Is Your Vagina Happy? The sequel. And remember, you know, you all know somebody with a vagina or a penis. That's the way it is. So those are aimed at adults. We've got a lot of other stuff, too, for young parents. Taking your kid to the doctor? What are the things you need to know if you're pregnant? The 5 things you need to know about a new medicine that you're going on. What happens if you get a medical bill? All of these is on the website. It's, you know, it's there. It's free. I want you to use it. I want you to correspond with me. My email is drchambersoncall.com. You can email me about the show, suggest topics for the show, and you can even criticize me. We doctors, we take a lot of criticism these days, and I'd like you to come in and let me know what it is. Anyhow, I only have 1 minute left, so I can't take any more calls, unfortunately. But next week, of course, I'll be live and local from noon to 1. But during the week, don't forget, drchambersoncall.com. You can follow me on Facebook, Dr. Chambers on Call, and Twitter, it's Dr. JC on Call. That's Dr. D-R-J-C on Call. This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The information in this show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a replacement or substitute for professional medical advice and/or treatment. Consult with your